Chapter 19. NASA Administrator Lawrence Ekstrom was a giant of a man, ruddy and gruff, like an angry Norse god. His prickly blonde hair was cropped military short above a furrowed brow, and his bulbous nose was spidered with veins. At the moment, his stony eyes drooped with the weight of countless sleepless nights. An influential aerospace strategist and operations advisor at the Pentagon before his appointment to NASA, Ekstrom had a reputation for surliness matched only by his incontestable dedication to whatever mission was at hand. As Rachel Sexton followed Lawrence Ekstrom into the Habosphere, she found herself walking through an eerie, translucent maze of hallways. The labyrinthine network appeared to have been fashioned by hanging sheets of opaque plastic across tautly strung wires. The floor of the maze was non-existent, a sheet of solid ice, carpeted with strips of rubber matting for traction. They passed a rudimentary living area lined with cots and chemical toilets. Thankfully, the air in the Habosphere was warm, albeit heavy with the mingled potpourri of smells that accompany humans in tight quarters. Somewhere a generator droned, apparently the source of the electricity that powered the bare bulbs hanging from draped extension cords in the hallway.
"Miss Sexton," Ekstrom grunted, guiding her briskly toward some unknown destination. "Let me be candid with you right from the start."
His tone conveyed anything but pleasure to have Rachel as his guest.
"You are here because the President wants you here. Zach Herney is a personal friend of mine, and a faithful NASA supporter. I respect him, I owe him, and I trust him. I do not question his direct orders, even when I resent them. Just so there's no confusion, be aware that I do not share the President's enthusiasm for involving you in this matter."
Rachel could only stare. I traveled 3,000 miles for this kind of hospitality? This guy was no Martha Stewart. "With all due respect," she fired back, "I am also under presidential orders. I have not been told my purpose here. I made this trip on good faith."
"Fine," Ekstrom said. "Then I will speak bluntly."
"You made a damn good start." Rachel's tough response seemed to jolt the administrator. His strides slowed a moment, his eyes clearing as he studied her. Then, like a snake uncoiling, he heaved a long sigh and picked up the pace.
"Understand," Ekstrom began, "that you are here on a classified NASA project against my better judgment. Not only are you a representative of the NRO, whose director enjoys dishonoring NASA personnel as loose-lipped children, but you are the daughter of the man who has made it his personal mission to destroy my agency. This should be NASA's hour in the sun. My men and women have endured a lot of criticism lately and deserve this moment of glory. However, due to a torrent of skepticism spearheaded by your father, NASA finds itself in a political situation where my hardworking personnel are forced to share the spotlight with a handful of random civilian scientists and the daughter of a man who was trying to destroy us."
"I am not my father," Rachel wanted to shout. But this was hardly the moment to debate politics with the head of NASA. "I did not come here for the spotlight, sir."
Ekstrom glared. "You may find you have no alternative."
The comment took her by surprise. Although President Herney had said nothing specific about her assisting him in any sort of public way, William Pickering had certainly aired his suspicions that Rachel might become a political pawn.